the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Now, to many, the GPO is Ireland's most iconic building, providing the backdrop to many of our most important national celebrations, including the annual St. Patrick's Day Parade. Certainly one of the most visually imposing and impressive of our buildings. One for the ages. It's more than two centuries old. It's a neoclassical building, and it was seized by the self-proclaimed provisional government of the New Republic as part of the 1916 Rising, partly for tactical but also for symbolic reasons. Its interior was destroyed by fire during the siege by British soldiers, but the shell remained standing, as did its centrepiece. The boldly projecting portico of six fluted Ionic columns supporting an entablature and cornice. And the state decided in 1924 to rebuild rather than level the site and start anew, which is why inside the GPO customers can still enjoy the Art Deco beauty of the reconstructed main hall. There's also a specially created visitor centre there, opened in 2016 to give locals and tourists the opportunity to understand the history of the Easter Rising. Now, the reason I'm saying all this is that today the government has made an announcement about the future of the GPO. And Jack Chambers, the Minister for Public Expenditure, Infrastructure, Public Service Reform and Digitalisation, joins us. Good evening to you, Minister.
Good evening, Matt.
I wrote all that for a book, Who Really Owns Ireland, 3 years ago, and also pointed out at the time that the offices behind the main hall had housed the staff of An Post for decades, but they were no longer fit for purpose. And the company had already moved to the tallest new office building in the country, the Exo in the North Docklands, leaving the future of the building uncertain. 3 years later, you're finally getting around to doing something about it, are you?
Well, thanks, Matt, and thanks for having me on. I just would say that, look, we want to ensure that, you know, we all know the historical significance of this building for O'Connell Street, for our city, for our country. And we want to ensure that we revitalise it, we renew it for the next 100 years. How do young people today connect with its important history? How do we secure its legacy in the long term? And that's why we're, I suppose, there's three priorities that we've taken and we've made decisions on today. First of all, transferring it from the Department of Culture to the Office of Public Works, who are going to lead the state project on this. Secondly, ensuring that we've temporary meanwhile use. So to your point, we've got a lot of vacancy, a lot of opportunity for other use for the GPO in the short term. So we want to, you know, have a civic and cultural space in the Telegraph Room, for example, which is opening it up to the public to use on a community basis, and other opportunities to bring people into the GPO quickly. And I think that that's a key part of what we're doing, is actually putting forward some capital spending to see how there's other office usages, other community uses, that it's actual civic space that actually brings people in, improving the public realm, ensuring that it's a place that people can, I think, have a much more integrated experience in. And then thirdly, is the critical point is how do we develop this for the long term? And this is about doing something in the public interest, building a civic amenity, regenerating it and renewing it in a way that's aligned with the wider feedback that we receive. And that's where there'll be a very significant kind of wider national conversation on this. And I think it's important to do it in that way. It's not about the government or anyone, you know, on your programme or elsewhere telling people what way they want to shape. But we've put significant money aside in the sectoral investment plan for the Office of Public Works, that this is a real point of regeneration for the North Inner City and for Dublin more generally. How do we really improve the public realm of O'Connell Street and preserve the legacy of this building in a way that it's a place of remembrance?
Minister, how much confidence should we have in that? Because if you take, for example, Moore Street, It's back in 2007, 19 years ago, that numbers 14 to 17 were declared a national monument. There have been multiple court cases ever since. Back in 2016, High Court Judge Max Barrett declared nearly all of the buildings on the east side of Moore Street, as well as the laneways leading to it, to be part of the 1916 Rising battlefield and should be protected as part of an official register. State appealed the decision, overturned by the Court of Appeal in 2018. Then the state took possession of those houses, proposed their redevelopment as a Rising commemorative centre at an estimated cost of 16.25 million euro. What's happened with that?
So actually, I was speaking to the chief architect about that today. So there is separate work ongoing in parallel around that particular.
What sort of work is ongoing? There's been ongoing for years.
No, they're due to try and progress some element of that over the next number of months, and they'll announce further plans around.
What does that mean?
Well, it means when the detail is set out, the Office of Public Works with Minister Boxer Moran will act. Today's about the GPO, but they are.
It's all linked. We all know the Moore Street is linked to the GPO.
It is, but there is other work ongoing around Moore Street, and details and that will be set out in the coming months. I spoke to the chief architect about that today, and when it's ready, I'll set it out. I accept, though, to your wider point.
We have been told this so many times.
I take your wider point, and it's similar to the conversations we've had on infrastructure and on wider projects which are listed for years and people don't see the progress. And what we've done here is we've put significant state funding aside with the Office of Public Works so that we can underpin actual a follow through around regeneration, renewal with this project when we conclude a national conversation, which is important. I think this isn't about, you know, we've had some people have concern that it'll turn into a commercial context. It's not. That's not what this is about. It's about preserving it in the public interest for civic use, for a strong cultural component. And it's about the public shaping that in a positive way, underpinned with investment. And it's learning from some of the instances of whether it's social or economic infrastructure where it's constantly people are divided, where there's objections, where there's litigation, and we're in this cycle where people don't see, you know, the progress that they expect. And that's why we're trying to do this in an inclusive way, to learn from what has happened in other instances, Matt. And that's the context.
When I started this interview with you, I mentioned how the GPO is an iconic building because of the 1916 Easter Rising. How O'Connell Street is regarded by many as sort of like, everything is measured around the country from the GPO on O'Connell Street. It's the centre point. And I've mentioned the GPO. I've mentioned Moore Street, which of course runs adjacent to it. Mm-hmm. You even take up at the northern end of O'Connell Street. There's a site there, the old Carlton Cinema, which has been derelict from long before you were even born. It's built 1979, it's been derelict. Mm. There have been hoardings up there. There have been constant discussions. There have been constant plans. And nothing has ever been done. And this is the problem at O'Connell Street. Can you understand why I'd be sceptical when I hear, we're going to draw plans for the GPO?
No, I do. And look, I hear that and I hear it on other issues of social and economic infrastructure. And what I'm trying to do is give confidence with a funding allocation. It's in our sector investment plan. It's been prioritised over other instances and other areas of that we could invest in, because we want to future-proof the legacy of the GPO.
How much money have you put aside for it?
So in the sector investment plan, we've set aside between 200 and 500 million is the expected cost over a decade. It'll probably be done on a phased basis. We've also set aside 6 to 8 million euro to renovate some of the areas in the GPO on a short-term basis. So we actually bring in community and civic use quickly, because people walk by the GPO and don't really have in access and aren't don't necessarily experience it on a daily basis. That's why, for example, we're going to have a 250-seat cultural and community space in the Telegraph Room where we were today. And that will, I think, bring a lot more people through it to experience it. And again, there's other opportunities to have, you know, as you said, there's vacant office space where the OPW are looking at bringing, you know, different public servants or civil servants in by renovating.
Could you not do other things with it? Could you not use it as museum space? There was
a
suggestion previously that maybe the Abbey Theatre would be relocated there.
I think I met the Abbey Theatre last year, and that there's obviously separate work ongoing to properly advance that project with the Department of Culture. So, you know, and I've been engaged with the Abbey Theatre on that and their work.
You must be about the 10th minister who's been engaged, because the redevelopment of the Abbey has been talked about since the turn of the century.
It has, but I mean, again, these are projects that are, again, we've put aside significant allocation in the Department of Culture on that project, for example.
But why aren't they ever done?
Well, I think
what is the problem with this country?
I'll tell you.
Major cultural institutions, major cultural buildings, things that we should be proud of.
We're talking about one today, Matt.
For local,
and you're giving out.
I'm giving out because I don't believe it's going to happen.
Because you're cynical.
Yeah, and do I not have reason to be?
You do on the basis of history, but like, when have you heard such a positive plan for the GPO?
Loads of times.
I don't think you have, to be fair. I don't think you have. And I think if you look at what we're putting forward today, is different, and it's actually setting out a kind of a plan over a number of years to have the phased renewal revival and regeneration of both the GPO in an inclusive way, but also why the O'Connell Street more generally. And I suppose what I would say to you is, I haven't, since I've been in politics 10 years as a TD, there hasn't been a plan set out for the GPO. There's been reports and recommendations. This isn't that. We've transferred it to the OPW. We want to intensify its use in terms of office space, community use, civic space, bring people into it in the short term so that it has more meaning in people's lives on a daily basis, how it can improve the public realm. And then we've put money aside to actually make it happen. So I speak to people every day about, you know, cynicism on wider issues in terms of delivery, which we are trying to cut through the crap. I mean, we've too many reports and recommendations that just circle around and people don't see progress on. That's why we're cutting layers. We're cutting some of the rules around the guidelines so that we make things happen. You're going to see some of the economic infrastructure, things are going to move quicker. Greater Dublin Drainage, Metro, some of the projects that I've been here about before are going to move quicker. And I've more confidence around that because we're accelerating it. We're promoting delivery. We're wanting people, civil servants, to take more risks.
This time is going to be different, isn't it?
Because take more risks and get things
done. Metro. I mean, we've been talking on the Metro for 25 years.
This government has tender documents out, we'll start it. We have a Victorian water system in Dublin. We're going to start the Greater Dublin Drainage Project. And I accept the charge of, you know, projects that have been listed for years not happening, but I can assure you, over the next series of months and the next 1 to 2 years, many of the projects that are sitting there that are massively important for, you know, infrastructure delivery will happen. But this is also the other balance. How do we, to your point on cultural institutions, how do we ensure that we, the likes of the GPO, which is so central to our, you know, story as a country, that people have a role in shaping what way they want to see it in the future. And we've put money aside to make sure we develop this in a phased way in the public interest. And I think it's exciting for O'Connell Street and how it'll catalyse other development as well.
Okay, listen, we're out of time, but I just briefly want to ask you one thing that's already come up on the programme. The triple lock. It was in your manifesto for the general election. You wanted to get rid of it. It was in the programme for government that you wanted to get rid of it. Mm. Why is there a rebellion within the Fianna Fáil party now? About 20 parliamentary party members, has been reported, who want a discussion, which is a euphemism, as they don't want to do this.
Well, look, this has been the wider discussion. This has been ongoing for the last 3 to 4 years. I believe we should reform the triple lock. I don't believe the likes of Russia or other countries should have a veto on how we deploy our troops. And it was in our party manifesto going to the last general election.
If it was in the programme for government, why are so many of your parliamentary party now kicking up about it?
There'll be a wider discussion on it, but, you know, that's a matter for a discussion. We're healthy.
But is that another example of debate? The leadership losing control of the party?
I don't believe so, because, you know, people can't have a discussion on any issue they like at the parliamentary party. That's natural.
But why are they only waking up to this now? Is this because they're reacting to social media pressure?
I don't think so. Like, I would make the case that we should reform the triple lock, that it's something that we shouldn't have. You know, we haven't had a UN Security Council mandate for the deployment of troops for many, many years. And we should be able to decide our own affairs in the context.
But would it be
safe
for our troops to go anywhere without a UN mandate?
Well, I think that's an assessment that can be made when we reform the triple lock and when we create the new mechanism that we've decided, where the Dáil and government would decide on an informed basis how we deploy our troops. And obviously that would be a matter for future deployment. But I don't think we should rely on, you know, a power somewhere else to dictate how we should deploy our troops in a world that's changing. But we value debate as a party, and I look forward to discussion this evening.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Minister for Public Expenditure, Jack Chambers.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.